In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expire, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Our Lady, Queen of Peace,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Of course, every day we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet with Drew Mariani, and Drew will be back tomorrow to take your prayer intentions. But on this day after Divine Mercy Sunday, what we would like to do is share some of your stories about prayers that have been answered in your life. As you have prayed the Divine Mercy Chaplet, as I have prayed the Divine Mercy Chaplet, I have seen those prayers answered, those miracles happen. What are yours? 888-914-9149 on this day after Divine Mercy Sunday. I'm praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Perhaps you've called Drew's show and have gotten through, but just praying it on your own. What are some of the prayers that have been answered in your life? What are some of the miracles that have happened for you? Let's share those answered prayers. Let's share those miracle moment stories right now. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. The miracles that have happened, the prayers that have been answered because of the Divine Mercy Chaplet in your life. 888-914-9149. Your call's coming up next on the Drew Mariani Show here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Your virtual parish. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
But when will the Catholic Church get with the times, some people say?
Cale Clark.
Well, the Catholic Church isn't concerned about getting with the times, as Peter Kreeft has said so well. The Church doesn't read the times. She reads the eternities. She's concerned about the end times and your eternal soul. She is only concerned with saving your soul and mine. She has no authority to change the teachings of her Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. Now, other Christian communities think they had the authority to change those teachings of Jesus. And the irony is that people are always complaining the Catholic Church is constantly trying to impose its authority over my life. The Catholic Church actually claims to have far less authority than these other groups do. The Catholic Church is the faithful spouse who will never commit spiritual contraception or divorce by imbibing the potions of our age, changing our Lord's teachings to suit the ways of the world.
Bringing Christ to the world through the media. Relevant Radio.
But now it's a flight from reality itself.
Patrick Madrid.
We've turned in the direction of a denial of reality. Look at some of the, for example, gender ideology. Talk about the opposite of evidence and science-based. It's all about feelings and one's perception of oneself. I use that as just one example. Let me share a Bible passage with you. This is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Listen to this. Verse 9. The coming of the lawless one by the activity of Satan will be with all power and with pretended signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are to perish because they refuse to love the truth and be saved. Therefore, God sends upon them a strong delusion to make them believe what is false, so that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. A strong delusion. I mean, one way to interpret that is that God withdraws from certain people.
I wonder if that may be a description of what's going on right now.
Bringing Christ to the world through the media. Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
I believe, as the Lord promised, that all the floodgates through which graces flow are open. If you're praying for conversion for somebody you love, ask God for that grace. If you're asking for personal virtue, ask for that grace today.
I'm praying for my niece, Jacqueline. She's having trouble with a pregnancy, and I'm seeking the intercession of Mary to continue carrying the baby.
I'm praying for my mother that her rheumatoid arthritis pain goes away.
I would like to pray for my dad so he stops having belly problems and back problems.
I'd like to ask prayers for all the souls in purgatory, for priests, for an increase in vocations, for my mother-in-law, my personal intentions, and those of our listeners.
Those were some of the prayer requests yesterday on Divine Mercy Sunday with our special broadcast at 3 p.m. Central Time with Father Rocky from the Chapel of the Nativity on Relevant Radio with exposition and benediction of the Blessed Sacrament and the praying of the Divine Mercy Chaplet with Drew Mariani. And those were some of the prayer requests that you heard yesterday. This is the most popular, the most listened to 30 minutes of the day here on Relevant Radio. And you know the power of the Divine Mercy Chaplet in your life, with the prayers that have been answered, the miracles that have happened in your life. And we're sharing some of those, let's call them miracle moments here. You hear miracle moments all the time on Relevant Radio, and they have happened with the power of the Divine Mercy Chaplet and God's infinite graces coming into your life. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We're sharing your stories right now, and we start with Stephanie in Hammond, Indiana. Stephanie, what was the answered prayer that you had in praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet?
Well, last year, March, I didn't have a job, and I didn't have a house, and now I have a job and a house.
Awesome. Awesome.
It's craziness. Yep.
Yeah, it's the power of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It really, but it works every single time, you know. And I remember, and it was funny being a listener to the Drew Mariani Show, working at Relevant Radio here at the time, and then calling him, as you probably did, when my mom had a minor stroke. This was on Christmas Eve of 2015. Fast forward, we're going to the neurologist, and it's maybe 4 or 5 months later. Yeah, it was the beginning of May, and it was this time of year in 2016. And I saw the x-rays that night in the emergency room, and I saw the bleed on her brain, the stroke. And then I saw the x-rays on that Thursday afternoon in May, and the neurologist said, "She's well." And I said, "Well, what do you mean she's well?" He said, "Look at the x-rays, completely gone, completely gone. No side effects, no side effects whatsoever, Stephanie."
Wow.
And so I said, that's the power of the Divine Mercy Chaplet, because, of course, I was praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet almost nonstop. So I had to call Drew, and luckily I was able to get through just before 3 o'clock and tell him that story, which he shared on the air. But that's just a wonderful story, Stephanie. That's great. Glad you got the house and the job situation all squared away. Thanks so much for adding to our conversation today, 888-914-9149, on this day after Divine Mercy Sunday. We're talking about the power of the Divine Mercy Chaplet in your life, the prayers that have been answered and the miracles that have happened. Lency is in Ohio. Lency, good afternoon. Welcome to the Drew Mariani Show. Tell us about the miracles, the prayers that have been answered in your life.
Hi. Yes, I just wanted to say that I've dealt with shame and guilt for multiple years, and it literally took over my life. And by this Divine Mercy Chaplet and the words that Jesus had spoke to St. Faustina, I was just completely just healed and free, and I just want to just tell everyone of this beautiful gift.
When we're carrying crosses, and I'm curious, Lency, and that's a tremendous story, and I'm so happy for you. When we're carrying crosses, "Jesus, I trust in you," can be the four most difficult words to say and to live.
Right? So how did you start living Jesus, I trust in you, and really put that trust, underline the word trust, in him to bring you to where you are today to share this miracle?
Just to remember that his mercy is more, and it's really hard, really, really hard to do, like you said, but just to understand that what he did on the cross for us, it just, right. You can't even doubt it anymore. You can't even doubt it.
Yeah, yeah. And you probably remember if you prayed Stations of the Cross during Lent, it makes praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet gives you new depth of understanding. And if you're really Ignatian, it really puts you into that moment, those moments when Jesus is going up Calvary. When you pray the Stations of the Cross, you probably experienced that. Lindsay, thank you. God bless you. I'm so happy that your prayers have been answered, and we're sharing your stories at 888-914-9149 on this day after Divine Mercy Sunday of how the Divine Mercy Chaplet that you pray in this hour of power with Drew Mariani every afternoon at 3 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app have had an impact on your life, the prayers that have been answered, the miracles that have happened in your life. Mary Claire is in Pennsylvania listening to Relevant Radio today. Mary Claire, welcome to the Drew Mariani Show. Tell us about what happened in praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet for you.
Well, I was Catholic, but I was very lukewarm, and my mother was encouraging me to be more Catholic, and I eventually had a conversion on Divine Mercy Sunday, and I've never been the same, and my mom was literally afraid to bring it up because she was so shocked that I was so different.
What exactly happened in that conversion? Explain that moment, because, you know, I think we've all experienced those aha moments of, you know, our own personal Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit really comes into our lives in a very demonstrative way, almost to the point where, and I know this has happened twice in my life, Mary Claire, where it's visceral. You can feel it. You can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. So what was that moment for you when you had that conversion on a Divine Mercy Sunday?
Well, I was standing next to my sister, and I don't know how I saw it, but I could see the united hearts of Jesus and Mary beating together with mine in unison.
Wow.
And I hit my sister, and she was like, "What?" I said, "Do you see that?" And she was like, "No."
But she could feel it. She could see it through your spirit. That's great. That's great. What an awesome story. You can hear the smile in my voice. I don't know if you can see the smile on my face, but for those of you who have had that experience and that conversion moment, especially on the Divine Mercy Sunday on top of that. Mary, thanks for adding so much to the conversation today in Minnesota. God bless you and your family. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. I'm sorry, that was Mary Ellen. Here's Mary in Minnesota talking about answered prayers and miracles that have happened praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Hi, Mary. Welcome to the Drew Mariani Show. Tell us your story.
Okay. Well, about 11 or 12 years ago, my sister tried to commit suicide, overdose of pills. No one even found her for over a day. She was on tubes and everything, and they were going to end her. They said that, you know, they wanted permission to just end it because she was in such bad shape. Two of us prayed the chaplet near her bedside, and that evening a priest gave her the sacrament anointing, and the very next day she turned around. The following week she actually left the hospital.
Wow.
And she is still alive today. I would ask you for prayers, though. I'll just say her name is Anne. Please continue to pray for her spiritually. Physically, she's doing very well. 3 months after it all happened, she went back to work.
Wow.
But just pray for her spiritually, because she's gone through a lot in her life, and she's still not totally right with the Lord, but God spared her life and has given her many more years, so hopefully she will totally renew spiritually as well.
That'll be the next answered prayer and the next miracle that happens, and we'll be praying for Anne. Count on those prayers.
Everybody pray.
Yep. Yep, and I'll remember her at Mass tomorrow morning as well. Mary, thanks so much. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. In what you know is the Hour of Power, and Drew will be back tomorrow taking your prayer intentions for the Divine Mercy Chaplet. But on this day after Divine Mercy Sunday, we thought it would be a good idea to talk about some of those prayers that have been answered and some of those miracles that have happened in your life. Joe's in Brookfield, Illinois. Hi, Joe. Welcome to the Drew Mariani Show.
Hi, John. How are you?
Blessed to have you on. Tell us about the prayer that got answered, the miracle that happened in your life in praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. But before you answer that, let me ask you a question. How did you discover the Divine Mercy Chaplet?
Well, through Relevant Radio.
Yeah, me too. Me too. It was 12 years ago. It was the summer of 2010. Someone gave me an iPhone. And boy, that was a great gift because I didn't have a smartphone. I had one of those flip phones. And I discovered Relevant Radio. We didn't even have an app then, but I discovered it and discovered this guy in the afternoon. I said, boy, this guy's good. He talks common sense to me. I'm learning about my faith. And I was so into the Drew Mariani Show that at 4 o'clock here in the East, 3 o'clock in the Central time zone, I said, oh, yeah, Divine Mercy Chaplet. Yeah. I know about this. I'll come back in 7 minutes. That's when it was recorded. And then the Holy Spirit went to work, and I started praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Then Drew started taking prayer. And I was like, oh, okay. So you and I share that common experience of really understanding the depth and the power of the Divine Mercy Chaplet through Relevant Radio. So tell us about your answered prayer, your miracle.
So I was diagnosed with lymphoma back in January of 2020. And that was at the highlight or just the beginning of COVID. So I went to the hospital to get my treatments, which was rare at that time. And I would go in for 5 days and come out for about 3 weeks. And I did that for about 6 months. And the whole time I would pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet, as well as the Rosary with Father Rocky.
Mm-hmm.
And I recently had a CAT scan, and I'm about 21 months now cancer-free.
Ah, thanks be to God. I just had my cancer checkup 5 weeks ago, and it's coming up on 3 years, and the doctor said, no, everything's fine. And then he told me something that I didn't know, and I'm glad I didn't know this. This is one of those blessings, and maybe you had this experience, Joe. Cancer doctor says to me at the last checkup, and he said, well, you know, even though, you know, we got everything before it kind of broke out into your system, the pathology isn't 100%, so that first year is the trickiest. And I'm thinking, oh, glad I didn't know that in the first year. But he said, you got to year number 3, and you should be doing okay. I think after 5, you're kind of out of the woods. So, Joe, I'll remember you in prayer, and thanks for adding to our conversation this afternoon here on the Drew Mariani Show this day after Divine Mercy Sunday. Let's talk to Sherry in Dyersville, Iowa, talking about the power of the Divine Mercy Chaplet, the prayers answered, the miracles that have happened in your life. Hi, Sherry. Welcome to the Drew Mariani Show. Tell us about your miracle, your answered prayer.
Yes, hello. Hopefully I can make it through this without breaking or crying or tearing up or whatever. But anyway, one day in February, I was praying the chaplet with Drew, and he had said to ask God specifically to use his hand, touch your hand with his, touch the wound with your mighty hand. But anyway, I had been taking care of my 87-year-old mom, and she developed a leg ulcer, open wound on her leg. And last August, we had been constantly going to doctor appointments and wound clinics and change after many, many bandage changes and stuff. I had specifically that day asked for my mom's leg wound to be healed by God's almighty hand. And the next day we had her appointment, and we brought her there. And at the appointment, they took the bandages off, and the wound was completely healed.
Wow.
Anyway, we were just all in shock. The doctors were in shock. My mom and I were in shock. And it was just amazing. And all that was there was the scar that was anything that remained. And it was just, so it was amazing. So, yeah, to pray the chaplet every day is so good for, yeah.
And you find yourself, Sherry, in those moments where you're completely out of words. You don't even know how to thank God. You can't even say thank you. You can't even get those words out. Because when you see that miracle that literally happens before your eyes, you can't say thank you enough. That's a great story. That is a great story. Sherry, thanks for writing so much.
Yes, you're welcome, and thank you.
Thanks, and God bless. That's Sherry in Dyersville, Iowa. Take care. And of course, Drew will be back tomorrow in this hour of power to take your prayer requests here on Relevant Radio. Coming up in the next half hour, you and I stand up as Roman Catholic men and women, and we stand up for life, and we talk about life from the moment of conception until natural death. And you and I understand that, but a lot of pro-life medical experts sometimes can get the language they use wrong. So we'll talk about what language to use to stand up for life next here on The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
I'm a fan of yours. I listen to your replay at night on the Relevant Radio app.
It's the Drew Mariani Show.
Working graveyard as a mail handler.
On Relevant Radio.
John Harper for Drew Mariani on this day after Divine Mercy Sunday. And it is a prayer that I pray, and I know that you pray every single day. And it's a prayer for life. That we respect life from the moment of conception until natural death. And of course, we know that we live in a culture of death that acts contrary to what you and I believe as Roman Catholic men and women. And you also know that the country is sharply divided on the issue of abortion. The majority of Americans do support at least some restrictions on abortions, particularly past the first semester. However, if you watch cable news and really on any one of the cable news channels, I mean, we see the sides that are being taken in the abortion debate. We understand that. And that the stories are formed using certain language. Now, you and I know the simple truth of our Catholic faith, as I was mentioning, that all life begins at conception. It goes from conception to natural death. But have you also noticed that in the argument about abortion, the pro-choice language that is used is one that really needs to be questioned, needs to be challenged. Thanks be to God, Oklahoma, Florida, Kentucky, other states are now passing bans on abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy. And you have seen, especially with those who are pro-choice, the outrage that is out there. As a matter of fact, I saw one host on MSNBC, which decidedly swings liberal, calling some of these laws, these common sense laws, or at least, you know, we're getting to where we should be on abortion in this country, as, and I'm using the words, this was Nicole Wallace on MSNBC, just happened to wander by. I'm not a viewer of MSNBC, but she called these laws, and I'm using her words here, a sign of the growing extremism, the current version of the Republican Party. So this is the language that's out there. So how do you and I counter that language? And how should you and I be standing up and talking about the issues of life, which decidedly, just having this conversation with somebody yesterday on the phone, is going to become a states' rights issue? Roe versus Wade, if you and I were to bet money on it, probably will be overturned at the United States Supreme Court in this session by the end of June. And that's going to throw it right back to the states. And we have seen, thanks be to God, what some of these states like Oklahoma and Florida and Kentucky and others are doing to stand up for life. So this is going to become an issue that's coming to our hometowns, to the street where you live. And I'm not exaggerating that in any way, shape, or form. Let's talk a little bit about this and some of this language that's used with Dr. David Prentice, who is vice president and research director of the Charlotte Lozier Institute. He's also an adjunct professor of molecular genetics at the John Paul II Institute at the Catholic University of America. And also, Dr. Prentice was a founding advisory board member for the Midwest Stem Cell Therapy Center. That's a unique and comprehensive stem cell center there in Kansas. And he helped create that. And just 2 years ago, Dr. Prentice was appointed by the Secretary of Health and Human Services to the Federal Human Fetal Tissue Ethics Advisory Board. And Dr. Prentice joins us from Topeka, Kansas today on the Drew Mariani Show. Dr. Prentice, welcome to Relevant Radio.
Thanks, John. Good to be with you.
Obviously, the issue of life has been politicized, what hasn't, in our faith. So when we hear people like MSNBC host Nicole Wallace and maybe some of our own members of our families saying that, well, this is the extremism and the current version of the Republican Party, what do you say?
Well, you have to point back, frankly, to the true science. All of the things that are being said out there in the media by a number of policymakers, and frankly, even by a number of our friends, family members, and professionals, are tainted and trying to give a biased view of what these laws really are about, and frankly, what the science is really about. They will use euphemisms often and not even say the word abortion, but they will talk about reproductive health care. But we really need to point back to what is the truth here. What are the actual facts? Abortion destroys one human life and damages another human life, sometimes many more. Even a lot of doctors are shy about talking what really is involved with an abortion. And I think we really need to, frankly, churn some stomachs with the actual truth. There was a recent story about some aborted babies who were found in the trash in Washington, D.C., and some pictures floating around. And I admit, these pictures were a little bit gory.
Right.
But if you saw that, a line from William Wilberforce comes to mind that you may turn away, but you can never say that you did not see the actual truth. And that's what we need to talk about. What's the truth? What's the biology? Abortion destroys a human life. It takes that life away.
Isn't it interesting, Dr. Prentice, the disingenuousness of those who are pro-choice, who will cite the science? And how many times have we heard that in dealing with COVID-19, but will also discredit the science of life in the context of the abortion issue?
It's a very situational case with many of these pro-abortion advocates that, as you say, they will try to cite the science, although very often this phrase about follow the science and let's look at the science, it's not the actual science. They're twisting all of the facts. Look at all of the euphemisms and things that were given about the Texas abortion law that passed a while back. And it was directed towards when you can detect a heartbeat via ultrasound, abortion is illegal in the state of Texas after that point. Well, we heard all of these things about, well, it's not even a heart. It's not, doesn't look just like a heart does for an adult. And, oh, it's only giving off electrical pulses and so on. And I had to wonder myself, having taught medical school, if some of these doctors saying those things had slept through that class on embryology. I'm sorry. Now, in truth, you and I both know that they knew what they were saying. They were trying to register their disdain.
Yeah.
For the policymakers and pro-lifers in general. But yeah, the facts are, again, let's go back to what the actual biology is. What's the science? Well, the science says that you form a heart by 6 weeks gestational age. What does a heart do? A heart pumps blood, oxygenated blood, around to the body to nourish all of your tissues. Now, at that age in our life, it may not look exactly like an adult heart does, but frankly, even when you're born, your heart isn't exactly like that heart.
Sure.
And the ultrasound is the other part of this. What an ultrasound does is it bounces sound waves off and it measures movement, aka that beating movement. It's kind of like if you think about how a radar gun works. It bounces those radar waves off your car to see how fast you're going. It's not measuring the electrical activity of your battery. It's measuring movement. And that's what the ultrasound does. So we've got to just go back and look at the actual facts of the science of the biology.
Dr. David Prentice, our guest today, we're talking about the language of life and how pro-life medical experts sometimes take a look at the language that's being used. And we see pro-life medical experts in the media coverage of abortion always talking about not following the science, but political rhetoric, again, talking about disingenuousness as those same people who say, oh, wait a minute, this is, you know, radical, the radical version, the current version of the Republican Party pushing the issues of life. At the same time, you know, we've got others saying, you know, oh, well, you can't do the political rhetoric. So, you know, which way do you want it? So what is some of the language? I mean, we stand up for life as the moment of conception until natural death. And when we have these conversations, and they inevitably happen at the dinner table when family gets together, especially at holidays, what is the right way to approach this so as not to inflame the issue, but to just have aha go on the other side of the table?
Well, St. Paul, I think, said it best. You're supposed to speak the truth in love. You're supposed to provide a gentle answer, which turns away wrath, and you still go to, you know, here are the actual scientific facts, whether we're talking about when that human life first began. This actually is a settled question. We hear all the time that, well, nobody really knows. Even some scientists say they don't. But if they come back to the honest issue and the honest science, what are called Carnegie stages of early human life were decided on back in the 1940s. And real scientists, real embryologists, constantly refer to those as this is when a human life, a human organism,
right,
began and began to develop. And we don't look like we do now when we first start to develop. That's why it's called development. We are changing and progressing and so on. But the scientific fact is when that life began. We've discussed, you know, in terms of when a heart beats. We can discuss all of these various things, but we have to come back to here are the basics.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the biology. In another area I've been involved in, you mentioned the Midwest Stem Cell Therapy Center. I've been in a number of debates regarding stem cells, adult versus embryonic. And again, euphemisms come up. People will talk about, even some scientists, life-saving cures from embryonic stem cells. Now, where do you get embryonic stem cells? You get them by destroying,
right,
a young human embryo very early in life. Now we're only talking about 5 to 7 days after fertilization and conception. But those life-saving cures, this is what has been promulgated so that even citizens of California voted in multi-billion dollars to be used for this research. They were told there would be life-saving cures and so on. There has not been a single life saved by,
right,
embryonic stem cells. Adult stem cells have saved over 2 million lives globally.
And Dr. Prentice, that's the same language that we hear about reproductive health care, reproductive,
yes,
justice, and all of those other things that the huge money of Planned Parenthood puts behind these things to just to have them out there as part of just as part of the nomenclature in our society. And it's hard to push back sometimes, but
this is
going to happen. This is the issue of abortion is going to happen in our own kitchens, in our own communities, yeah, when Roe versus Wade gets overturned. So this conversation that we're having, Dr. Prentice, is informative and empowering because this is going to happen right in our own communities where we're going to have to fight this issue.
And another thing, you know, everybody now, their first baby picture that's posted on the fridge is an ultrasound.
Yes.
I think that visual alone is powerful in bringing to these discussions to talk about how Planned Parenthood used to say, that's just a clump of tissue. Well, you know, 50 years ago, there were some pretty grainy black and white ultrasounds, but you could make out an outline. Now we have 3D and 4D ultrasounds where you can watch this little baby in the womb smiling and turning somersaults and sucking her thumb. And the ultrasounds alone put the lie to all of these euphemisms about this being not a separate person, that this is just a clump of cells. And I think we need to bring it back to things like that,
right?
Actual visuals that tell the truth.
Dr. David Prentice is with us today, and we're talking about the actual truth of life and how to stand up for it. You and I do that as Roman Catholic men and women, but fighting against some of the, not only the culture, but the language that we hear, reproductive rights, things like that, when dealing with abortion and with death. Join our conversation, 888-914-9149. How do you stand up for these issues? 888-914-9149. When you hear family, friends, or you're out someplace and someone uses these euphemisms to talk about murder, what do you say as a Catholic? 888-914-9149 on the Drew Mariani Show here on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and relevantradio.com.
John Harper for Drew on this Monday afternoon, and we're talking about standing up for life, as I know that you do as a Roman Catholic man or woman, but also taking a look at how the media in general covers the issue of life and abortion. And it is one that more often than not is contrary to where you and I stand as Catholics. And what we know is the truth, that life begins the moment of conception until natural death. We're having this conversation with you and Dr. David Prentice, who's the Vice President and Research Director of the Charlotte Losier Institute, today at 888-914-9149. We're curious how you have had those conversations, 888-914-9149, when you hear the euphemisms of reproductive rights and all of the things that Planned Parenthood and other organizations like that use. Let's talk a little bit, Doctor, about your fellow physicians, American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, are pro-choice. They know better. I know you talked and joked, were they out of the classroom that day when they taught when human life begins? What do you say to fellow doctors who know better?
Well, what I like to do is try to call them back to the actual science and biology again and see if they can recall what they supposedly learned in medical school. I'm afraid I'm a little harder on professionals, scientists and physicians, and really I feel like challenging them to provide any sort of published evidence that backs up their position. We can provide plenty of evidence, not from textbooks only, but the primary scientific literature over decades of time that backs up what we're saying. The truth is still the truth. It becomes pretty obvious in these discussions that there is a political sort of biased agenda. Some of these euphemisms brings to mind the statement that they're calling good evil and evil good, which is exactly what is going on in a number of these places. But I think we still have to call them back to the truth. And again, it should be done gently.
Yep.
It should be done with love. But we still have to stand fast for the truth of life and the ultimate truth, that we are God's creations, made in His image. And there's inherent dignity even in a very early developed human being.
Jerry is joining our conversation with Dr. David Prentice as we stand up for life and choose the words to push back against the narrative, certainly of the media. Hey, the narrative in our own communities and our own families who stand up for, quote, pro-choice. And how many, quote, pro-choice Catholics do you know? Jerry's in Robbinsdale, Minnesota. Jerry, welcome to the Drew Mariani Show.
Hi there.
And what do you say? What do you say when people kind of push back as you tell them the truth that life begins at conception?
Right. There's that one thing that I see is to cut through and get to the truth. I ask them, what is the unborn? And what do they think that is? Because And I used to support the pro-choice position, And a number of things helped me to change my mind. But in studying, going through how to have conversations with people, an adversarial stance isn't always helpful. But I think if you can be friendly, just stay and keep it friendly, and just start with, you know, well, what do you think the unborn is? And having just a question, I think it stops people, and it really makes them really take on the areas that they don't want to talk about.
Sure, to do it with clarity and charity. What was that moment for you, as you said you were pro-choice, if I heard you correctly, that made you stand up for life and the truth of who you are as a Roman Catholic woman?
You know, it's somebody that a very, very dear friend told me how much she was suffering. I was very surprised, but it was suffering that was, you know, a couple decades after the abortion. So that's what helped to change my heart, but it really wasn't good at changing my mind. And I really didn't know that, I didn't find that I had logic to change other people's minds. But, I think for me, that is where we have to really look at the logic and really, to help pro-choice people to see the truth that they don't want to look at, and to look at things. If this is a real human being, then we cannot just say, well, it's okay to kill it because the mother doesn't have enough money or because it's going to have a bad life. We would not do that with a two-year-old.
Right.
And the other thing I wanted to bring up with you all is a website called the Equal Rights Institute, and it's Josh and Tim Braun, and they are terrific at really bringing the conversation to college campuses, and they really help to bring down, really calm things down and discuss abortion in a very calm way.
Right. To do it with clarity and charity. Yeah.
Clarity and charity, and really, you know, looking to make friends actually with people who don't agree with you.
Jerry, thanks.
I found that too.
Thanks for sharing your witness. It's very important, especially with that, you know, profound change of heart. You changed your heart and your mind, and I know that's been instructive for many of our Relevant Radio listeners. Jerry, thanks for listening up in Minnesota. Dr. Jerry's conversion has a very important element to it, and one that I know is not taught in medical schools, and that's the Holy Spirit's intervention.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And she points out a couple of great points. Is getting people to just stop and think. You know, she mentioned, what is the unborn? A number of years ago, I was helping then Senator Sam Brownback prepare for a hearing. This was on stem cells, but it related to how you ask the question. And instead of the usual, when does human life begin, kind of a, you know, neutral sort of thing, he asked the witnesses, when did your life begin?
Wow.
And they had to sort of stop and think about that. And frankly, the scientist was perplexed, but had to reply honestly, well, at fertilization, at conception. You still also have to work on the heart, though, because there's a logic component, as Jerry was saying, and that heart component that the Spirit is working on. But getting them to think, making it personal, I said, when did your life begin? And what happened at that moment that didn't happen earlier or later?
Dovetailing on that point, Dr. Prentice, is Donna who's joining us in Oak Park, Illinois. And Donna, what do you say for those who don't believe what you and I believe, that life begins at the moment of conception?
Well, I have two things in mind that I'd like to say. First of all, you say, but half of those babies being aborted are female. And then I also can say, I believe a woman has a right to be born.
And what do they say when you say that?
Well, usually nothing, you know, obviously right away. But, I mean, I heard that myself, and I just thought that that's, how can you answer those questions in a negative way?
Sure. Sure. And I'm sure you've experienced this, Dr. Prentice, as well, when you were preparing, any number of witnesses to, stand up and talk about this. When you hear that silence at the other end because they know you have spoken the truth, what's the follow-up?
You hear the silence, and you, I think, need to repeat and press that home. So if it's, when did your life begin? And, what was different at that moment that was not the same as prior to that, earlier in your life development? Was it at birth? What changed magically at that point? Well, what about a premature baby then? And all these various things. Other point to put on to what Donna was at, there are a number of states that have now passed laws about what we call discrimination abortion, aborting babies with Down syndrome or other sorts of genetic problems and so on. And I think, talking about this in terms of it being a discrimination against that person. She talked about discriminating against girl babies, but what about discriminating against a young baby who has some sort of syndrome? We need to get clear in people's minds that these are human beings. Most of the OB-GYNs recognize that they're dealing with two patients, even though they may be making these illogical statements. And it's kind of bringing them back to reality that here's a second human being that needs care as well.
Doctor, thanks for clarifying a lot of these us with the language of life. Dr. David Prentice, who is Vice President and Research Director for the Pro-Life Research Group, the Charlotte Lozier Institute. Thanks, Dr. Prentice. God bless you. You'll be in our prayers.
Thank you so much.
We're going to talk more about this in the next hour of the Drew Mariani Show.